Do you believe he'll do it again? I believe he will do it again. He has been so faithful. He has answered prayer so many times. The enemy would like for you and me to think it won't happen this time, but he will do it again. Whoever wrote that song had an inspiration. And so I thank the Lord this morning for the comfort of that song that he will do it again. We desire your prayers this morning. We have had a number of burdens on our heart and our mind, and I've had to ask the Lord to clear my mind. And I believe he can do that. We want to begin this morning with a phrase of three different songs in our book. Number 342, you don't have to turn, I'll just have one little phrase out of there unless you just want to. The central thought from that song is change and decay in all around I see. Then a verse from 460. It also speaks about changing. It says, through this changing world below. Yeah. The next one is in from Psalm 149. And it says, roll on ye changing seasons. So change is what I want to begin speaking to you about this morning. And I know that we are all intelligent enough to know what change is. We are a people that are accustomed to changes. Changing things in our life, changing things in our society, changing seasons. Are you glad for the different seasons? That it's not all summer or all winter or even all spring or all fall. So change is important in a lot of ways. I'm thankful for the four seasons. I used to only like spring and summer. And fall just sort of did something to me. And winter, I could not tolerate the brown everything. And this recently, as we went to California and drove across those states that I had never really seen in the winter, I found a beauty. I have learned after some experiences that all seasons can be beautiful. So change is wonderful in some ways. They say here in Oklahoma that we have, they say if you don't like the weather, just wait a little while. Because we can have all kinds of weather actually in one day. It's been known to do that. So change, we're accustomed to change. Change is always, we're always developing. Aren't you glad that as time goes on that Caden didn't stay a tiny baby? We're seeing changes in Caden. He's growing up, he's talking, and change has something to do with each one of us as we even reach our full height. Damon is changing. He's taking on a little bit of a different, older look. He's no longer looking like a little boy, see? Change is wonderful. I still want us to think about all kinds of change this morning. I'm thinking also how in our society, technology was not a part of our lives 50 years ago. We did not even consider having a computer. I remember when we only had dial telephones, and we thought that was great because we used to have to dial the operator and give her numbers verbally. So it developed to where they had dial telephones. And when they came out with touch tone, did you know that you had to pay extra to have touch tone phones? But oh, we thought we were moving up when we had touch tone phones. And so technology today is changing so fast that if you buy a computer today, they say that in just a short time it will be out of date. Oh, it can still be updated and accommodated, but technically it's considered out of date. So lots of changes, and we're just accustomed to change all around us. I want us to think about the changes in our world, not just our society, not just our nation, but the whole world is changing. The laws are changing. The morals of our whole world are changing. What else would be changing? I'm going to put this in here. I believe opinions and judgments are changing. I want you to keep these thoughts in your mind as we continue. We're not going to just talk about this all the time. But we want to emphasize that we are so accustomed to changes that we probably don't think about it every day. In our changes of our opinions and our judgments, what's being changed about that? What's right and wrong? So people that once believed something that was right now believe it's wrong, and vice versa. The thought came to me that there is very little that has, and almost probably nothing, that stays the same. Nothing. We were coming down Sooner Road today instead of the interstate, and I drove that road every day for years when I was working in the school. And I distinctly remember a certain area there where there were very small trees coming up. They were probably no bigger than that in those years that I traveled. I really saw very small changes. But I hadn't been down that road and really hadn't noticed where that field was until this morning, and now they are tall trees, and it's woods now, and it was once like brush. So I saw many changes, and even the terrain changes are all around us. One thing that I know that some of you will remember, and certainly not the younger generation, did I ever think that I would change so much that I would be an older generation? I've changed. I've grown. I never thought that I would be like my parents that said, "I remember when." I thought our society was so mature and developed. Would I really recognize change in the society? And yet some of those things came to my mind, and here I am saying, I remember when a loaf of bread was 15 cents. See, some of you don't remember that. Things have changed. Prices have gone up. I remember that you could buy a house when we first married, a brand new house, for $9,000. And Lorne and I thought that was too high. So we settled on an older house for $8,000. when for another $1,000 we could have had a brand new house. And now what do they cost? Has there been a change? Okay. We remember. Do you remember? Oh, I remember when gasoline was 20 cents or less a gallon. See, I've got one nod over there and one over there. Changes have come into our world, and we just go with the change, don't we? We go to the pump and we pay whatever price it says. And when it got up to $3 to $4 a gallon, and Lauren has to remind me of this all the time, which I don't like, but he says, "Yeah, you said it would never come down below $2. Has there been a change? Now it's dropped a little bit. But somebody else says, "Well, just wait a while, it'll go back up." Change is in everything of your life and mine. I remember a car that we bought, a brand new car, about $2,000. And those generations before us could probably say a whole lot less. Brand new car. Now what do they cost? And you and I just get accustomed to that. We buy a used car for $12,000 and $15,000. And we don't think too much about it because we have adjusted our mind, our thoughts, to all of these kind of things that just have to do with everyday life. But things have changed. What you and I really need to be most conscious of are the changes in our laws. Because the word of the Lord says that it's His purpose, it is Satan's purpose to change the times and the laws. That's over in Daniel. So there is a purpose in a lot of things in our life that we almost get used to, accustomed to. And I'm not saying all these things that I have named has anything to do so much with the spiritual, but I want you to understand that we can get very accustomed to change. We can get so accustomed to the changes of our laws that we will not see the change. And especially the younger generation, because the laws began to change when, say, 20 years ago, the seeds of those changes were sown. And so the children that are born during that time will not see it as exceedingly sinful as possibly those of us that saw it before. I think about another scripture, and it speaks about when the temple was rebuilt, there was two different reactions. There were those that were shouting and praising and maybe singing. I don't know if it says exactly like that. But there was a group that was weeping because they remembered the former glory. For you and me to have a change in our vision is serious. Because the scripture says where the people has no vision, or I'm going to say correct vision, they will perish. So our vision of even the church, can it change? The possibilities, the potential of our vision being altered is real. Why would I say that in this time? When we have scriptures that say, "Don't you forsake the assembling of yourselves together." And it says, much more so as you see the day approaching. And do we see our pews filled? So somebody is forsaking something. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody this morning. Lorne has a childhood friend that keeps in touch with him, mainly at Christmas, and not even except in the last few years. And this man is a minister of the Presbyterian Church. He's a very intelligent man. He's been a professor at probably OU. He lives at Norman. And he wrote in his last letter of the decline of the attendance of the Presbyterian Church, and I was amazed. If we understood correctly, there were only two Presbyterian churches left in Oklahoma City, South Oklahoma City. And he's appointed to take on one that is the smallest of the two. Their membership is around 30 people. Presbyterian now. He talks about that in his Christmas letter. And he told how many of those were elderly, how many of those now very soon will not be able to attend. They are expecting that church to close. He is just to be there during this time to help keep the doors open. Change is coming. Maybe more than what we can imagine. That's another movement. Help us, Lord, to have a vision here. Change and decay. And all around I see changing world and even changing seasons of life. As you and I grow older, we are changing in our needs, even our wants, even our expectations. Change as you grow older. Oh, I remember the time that I had a lot more desire for certain things, and now they don't matter. So it's changing. I'm changing. People. Let's focus a little bit on individuals and people. Do people change? People can change for good or they can change for bad. And that's just the reality of life and humanity. It depends on how a person has their vision, and may I say, their convictions, whether they change for good or bad. People, this scripture came to my mind. I know I haven't really read a scripture yet, but we will. You know I have a lot of scriptures. But this scripture I want to give to you. It's in James 5 and 12. I'm just going to give you parts of that. It says, swear not, but let your, and I'm going to insert the word, be yea, yea, and your no should be no, no, or nay, nay. We find that people can change in their word. That people can give their word and it doesn't mean what it once did. It's not safe for you to shake a hand on a deal today. There was a time that a man could shake on his word and he stood on it. Today, if you do not sign a contract, you could be in trouble. You could be the loser, as a matter of fact. So do you see how men have changed in even their honesty and integrity to keep their word? And this scripture says, don't you even swear. What does that mean? Should we just simply be able to say, yes, I will do it, and if I can't, I will let you know? Or do we go beyond that and we say, I'll swear on the Bible that I'll be there tomorrow? See how you're taking it to the extreme to try to convince somebody you haven't changed. But for us to keep our word is so important, isn't it? Because our words are being uttered before God. And He's going to judge us of our words. The latter part of that verse says, for you to do it this way, your yes be yes, your no be no. It says, lest ye fall into condemnation. You see how important it is for us to not change from our integrity and our honor as we deal with people? Now, you know, I do know, I have worked with individuals that have been ultra sensitive, and they can get under a bondage of this kind of a thought that I'm presenting right now. And the enemy can take advantage of it. And what is the enemy? The devil is an accuser of the brethren. So there's a balance in here, see? God wants us to be balanced and not crushed down and accused and destroyed. He wants us to understand that if we do make a mistake and we're not able to honor our words, there is a place of recovery. Isn't that balanced? I believe that's balanced. I believe that the Lord is such a merciful God that He is able to work with us should we get ourselves in a bind. Thank the Lord. Has any of us ever got ourselves in a bind? I would say every one of us from time to time have gotten ourselves in a bind with our words. And maybe we have to go back and say, I'm sorry, I could not meet this. And that is acceptable before God. Always remember that. We don't presume upon His mercy, and we don't take advantage of His mercy in a wrong way. We take advantage of His mercy in that we're sincere before Him. So thank the Lord for all of that. I think it is wonderful, and you do too, I'm sure, when sinners change. Isn't that a wonderful change? Don't we love to see those kind of changes? When we see, nobody is called a sinner today. So I have to impress it upon us that there are still sinners, though they don't call themselves sinners. That's part of the change. But when we see a sinner make changes toward God, we rejoice. And we look, not judge, we look for positive changes in their life, don't we? And we rejoice then when we begin to see those good, growing changes. When we hear the testimonies, oh, you all know how I feel about raising your hand in song. That's one of my little bandwagons. I love to see someone raise their hand in song. I rejoice. I cannot help but say, thank the Lord, because I see some changes. that are positive. I like that. But one thing that can make you and me very sad is when we see someone that once raised their hand in song, and I want that to cover all that I mean. When we begin to see them change, when we begin to see the meeting isn't quite as important, and I can have excuses, I don't like those kind of changes. The scripture says that many are called, but what? Few. You know, the disciples, they were concerned about the few. They even asked Jesus the question, well, how many? Are there going to be a lot of people? And Jesus had to be very honest with them and say, it won't be very many. And so those kind of changes, as time goes on, as the church continues, as the Presbyterian church continues, there's changes. And those are changes that we don't really like to see. 2 Thessalonians 2, we're going to turn and read there. Not that that's our real thought. You might think, what is her thought? Just hold a little bit. 2 Thessalonians, I want to read three verses in the second chapter. The first three verses in the second chapter. I'm in 1 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the calling of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as that the day of Christ is at hand. And you know, what year is this? 2015. And we had a little message. Was it last Sunday? Nope, it wasn't last Sunday. I remember now. The day of the Lord is going to come. But look at verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. So, at what point in time do we analyze it and we say, okay, this is the beginning of the falling away? I believe it happens all the way along. And that there will be those that will fall away, that will go their way, will take on other religious spirits, if you will. They will not see themselves as lost at all. They will look back at where they were in the church of God and they will say, oh, we're free. That's happening. That is a big change for someone. They had to become blind. They had to become deceived. And they had to believe a lie in order to believe that. But something happened in them and they changed. I have someone in my mind right now that was a minister that I counted was a godly minister that was anointed, and they've changed. They're no longer where they once were. Did you know there's a scripture that tells us about those kind of people? And it says this, if I build again the things I once destroyed, I make myself what? A transgressor. I don't make them a transgressor. God does. So there's a change in that person's election, if you want to call it that. Okay. We've talked about a lot of change. And some of it is very negative. Very little of it is positive. But we want to give you something positive. As I said something a while ago about change and what changes and what doesn't, someone raised up their Bible. Aren't you glad for the unchangeable Word of God? We don't have to worry about next year what's going to be the doctrine that we will accept, because the Word of God is going to change, and now we're in confusion and we don't know what's right and what's wrong. We're so blessed to have a lot of things that are unchangeable, that stay the same. Thank the Lord. So that's what we want to talk to you about this morning. And I want to specifically give you the song of 334. So you might want to turn and read it with us, because I'm going to read every verse. It is so good. When the earth shall cease to be and the heavens pass away, the unchanging Word of God we'll see just as it is today. That's the vision that you and I need to not change. To know that the Word of God is going to stay the same throughout every generation. It will be the same when Jesus comes again. The unchanging Word of God is what you and I have to come to, because it's what we're going to be judged by in that great day. Since the morn when time began, hath His Word ceased to prevail? Is the God of heaven weak as man? See, I talked about all of the changes that you and I have gotten accustomed to in our lives and in this world. God's not that way. Or can His promises fail? Hath a mortal yet been found who hath trusted Him in vain? Search the whole broad world or space of earth around. And then it said, search it once again, and you won't find one. Trusting Him, I'm not afraid, for He careth still for me. And for me the promise sure was made and sealed on Calvary. What about the song that we all sang? He'll do it again. Isn't that according to His promise? It won't fail. Oh, what peace and calm content. Oh, what love and joy divine. While I trust what? Thy changeless Word within my heart, this heart of mine. Isn't that a wonderful song? The chorus is, on the Word of God I calmly rest. Oh, do we rest in His Word today? His Word is so important to us. We need to be eating and feeding on His Word. He said over there to take it, eat this book. He said it's going to be bitter. No, it's not going to be that way. How is it? It's going to be sweet in your tongue. But the honesty, He's telling us the truth. It will be bitter in your belly. How can that be? How can the Word of God be so sweet and then maybe be bitter? I'll tell you how. It's when you start digesting it in your life. You start obeying it you're going to meet some opposition because there is an opposer to the Word of God. The devil does not want you to believe God's Word and to stand on His promises and to have faith in Him. And so he's going about just seeking who he can devour in some way, hinder your faith. Because he'll say, oh, that's so bitter in your life. But at one time it tasted very sweet. Have you ever read the Word and found it sweet as honey? Oh, the Word of God is so precious. Has it ever been inspired to you by the Holy Spirit and made alive? I know it has been. Because even the young people have begun to tell of how the Lord gives them a verse. I rejoice that they are beginning to eat of the Word of God. This is where our strength is. This is where the Lord wants to prove Himself to you and me over and over, and He'll do it again. He will not fail. Thank the Lord. So I have some scripture now. This, I'm just going to quote it. I wrote it down so I can. Revelations 22 and 13. It says, He is Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the first. He is the last. There's nobody else. The scripture tells us there is no other name whereby men shall be saved. There is no other way. What does the word say? There is only one way. If it was a changeable way and we lost our way, how would we find the one true way? But that is the steadfastness of His Word and of God. And He is the beginning and the end. And it says that again in the first chapter in the 8th verse, only it says it a little bit differently. And I want you to get a hold of this, for it says, I'm Alpha and Omega, I'm the beginning and the end. And then it goes again and it says this, which is, what is the word is? Present tense. It's a present tense. He is, which was, what is was?
Past.
And then which is to come? Future. We can depend on God ever being the same.
Yes.
What He did for those in the past, He will do for us today. And however long you and I live in the future, we can depend on the power of God, on the salvation of His Christ, on the sanctifying power of His Holy Spirit being the same. It will not change. Like everything else around us, it will not change like that. The changes are to only be in us. When the power is working in us, that's the change. But He Himself and His power will not change, nor His word. James 1 and 17, listen to this one, the last part of it. It says, with whom is no variableness. What is that word? Variableness is, isn't it like wishy-washy? You ever use that term, wishy-washy? Or seesaw? Up and down all the time. There's none of that in God. No variableness. And then it said, neither shadow of turning. What would you say a shadow of turning would be? If it was a shadow of turning, it'd mean He's coming back. He's backing up on His word, and He's not going to back up on His word. That's James 1 and 17. Hebrews 13 and 8. I'm just giving you little portions here to encourage us this morning. Jesus Christ, now let's finish it. The same. What? Finish it.
Yesterday.
Do you see why that song is so important? Because yesterday I had him do something for me. I had him answer prayer for me. I had him heal my body. I had him work out something for me that only he could do. I had him. You put in there whatever you want for yesterday. And then it says he's the same today. He will not change. He will work in your life today like he did yesterday. And if you live till tomorrow, he'll work in it tomorrow. And next year, ever how long it lasts. So he's the same. And then what's the last word? Forever. How long is forever?
Long time.
A long time? Will you live forever?
Yes.
You will? In this life? No, we're not going to live forever, but he will live forever. And you and I can live forever if we get into his wonderful heavenly kingdom in eternity. Okay, that was Hebrews 13 and 8, if you're writing it down, and Malachi 3 and 6. Very short little verse. It says, I am the Lord and I do what? I change not. How many times do we have to read verses? Don't we say, don't we establish a doctrine or a teaching on the mouth of two or three witnesses? How many times have we established it? Many times. So he changes not. And then there is one in Psalms 102 and 27. It says, thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. I like that one too. So I want to turn now to another song. I won't give you all of it. It's number 350 in the book. And it said, the title of it is What the Savior Hath Said. And if you look down below that title, you'll see that it says it's the children's song. Why would that need to be the children's song? Do children, are children able to grasp hold of some of the deep truths of songs? They do, as you and I do. As you and I come to the prayer meeting and we begin to testify to the goodness of the Lord, the children are grasping hold of something. That's what's happening. And so this is something that's good. And he says, I am so glad. And have you ever started your testimony out and said, well, we usually say, I thank the Lord. That's a good way to start your testimony. But you know, it might be good for us to also say, I am so glad. I am so glad that the Savior has said, come unto me. Does it touch your heart when you look back and remember how the Lord drew you? How he worked with you? How he softened your heart? Oh, I want to tell you, if it hadn't been for the Lord drawing each one of us, we wouldn't be here today. So I'm glad. Are you glad the Lord said, come unto me? Another verse says, I am so glad it is ever the same. What's that saying? I am so glad he will not change. Can we be glad for that? Yes. I am so glad he is ever the same. Loving and kind. Are you glad that the Lord is loving and kind to you today? I am. I am so glad for his mercy and love. Given to me. Are you glad? Thank the Lord. You know what? His mercies and His compassions are still the same. And they're new, brand new, every morning. And how many times have we quoted that to each other? Many times. We need to be reminded that the love of God is really reaching out to all of humanity in reality. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish. I want everyone to come to repentance. But to the child of God, is there special favor? I believe there is. And I believe every morning He has a special mercy for you and me. A special compassion. I believe that. And so we go back to the first song that we quoted because we want to give the next phrase. Change and decay in all around I see. What's the next part? Do you have it in your heart? Oh, thou who changes not, abide with me. Thank the Lord. Is that our cry this morning?
Yes.
He will not change. Through this changing world below, what's the next part? Lead me gently as I go. We've got to go through this world. And this world is changing, but He can lead us through this world. Thank the Lord. It says, trusting Thee, same verse, trusting Thee, I cannot stray. I can never, never lose my way because He does not change. The last one was, roll on ye changing seasons. Or turbulent seas of sin, I have found a blessed shelter and glorious peace within. He doesn't change. In closing, I want to read Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to start at verse 35, and it says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence which has great recompense of reward. So this morning, we want you to have confidence in the unchanging Word and the unchanging God. For we have need of what? Patience. That after you've done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Do you and I need patience? We do. Oh, you say, well, I'm afraid to pray for patience because I might get a trial. But I want to tell you there's a patience that you cannot see the end of your life without. And that is waiting on the Lord. For verse 37 says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. So, that's His word. Ever how many years this thing goes, I die, I go into the grave, the next generation all dies, the next generation still lives. Ever how long, His word is still true. Whether anyone says, where is the promise of His coming? How do you know that He's telling the truth? It's because His word is eternally set. Thank the Lord. Then verse 38, I'll end with that. The just shall live by faith, but if any man change, doesn't say that word. If any man draws back unto perdition, wait, I'm in the 39, I'm sorry. If any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Amen.